Welcome, everybody, to your all-time favorite podcast in the universe, Persuasion School, and arguably the most useful podcast. Not just something that I believe. I think it's something that other people believe as well. Now that this podcast is growing, we're having more and more listeners reach out saying they are getting the things that they want in life. Things like raises, they're getting the jobs, they're navigating the interviews confidently, they're getting people to go on dates with them, they are winning more deals if they're in sales, or getting more donations if they're in fundraising. So yeah, I think we could agree it might be one of the most useful podcasts out there of all time. My name is Jake Savage. I'm super grateful to have you here. If this is your first time, welcome. And a little bit about me. You can read about me on in the bio on whatever platform you're listening to. But a snapshot here, I'm a former door-to-door salesman. I knocked on about 100,000 doors over the course of several years. And then I helped start a sales company with some amazing people. We built that up to be a national sales company. And my job there was to build and train a team of awesome salespeople. We had a little over 60 people there. I was the president for the last 3 years. We hit Inc.'s 500 fastest growing companies in the nation twice. We made that list. And then I say was the president because in 2021, I started my own consulting business. I wanted to take these principles of salesmanship and influence and persuasion and work with nonprofits to help their fundraising teams be more effective and win bigger donations. Specifically, for anti-trafficking organizations. And it's been awesome so far here in 2021. And then, of course, through this podcast, we teach the masses how to get more of those things that they want. The things that I mentioned, people are getting so exciting having total strangers reach out to me, which is becoming a more frequent occurrence nowadays. So if you're looking to become a more effective communicator, you're in the right spot. You want to be more persuasive, you're in the right spot. Do you want to negotiate a raise? You've got a review coming up, or maybe your boss even told you there was no chance of getting a raise. Don't give up hope. Listen to a few of these episodes. Reach out to me directly. You can still make it happen. This is the place to come to learn how to influence other people to take action. So it's Monday, which means I'm going to answer a question that's come through from the listeners. Monday Q&A. We've got two more segments during the week, so three shows total per week. Wednesday is Whiskey Wednesday. I love whiskey, and my wife and I, Alexa, we hang out, we drink whiskey, and sometimes new ones, sometimes old ones, just because trying a new whiskey every single week gets, first off, it's difficult sometimes to go out and find new whiskey. Also expensive, by the way. So we will try new ones if we're able to, or we'll just sip on one of our favorites and chat about my life. We had listeners wanting to know more about me just because I've got a lot of crazy stories and I'm working on some fun projects. So that's where we get into things, personal things on Wednesday. Then Thursday, that's a little bit more of the bread and butter behind the show. I will have put something together usually from my 15 years in sales or something from psychology. I love studying psychology. I'm in a master's program right now for organizational psychology. So I'll continue teaching you guys what I'm learning along the way. But anyways, a lesson on Thursday from salesmanship, psychology, or neuroscience, or I'm interviewing somebody awesome doing amazing things. And we learn from them how they communicate effectively and get other people to take action. So last Thursday, a friend of mine is the CEO and co-founder. He started this company with his two brothers. His name is Jim. His brothers are Jake and Jordan. And the three of them started the company and the beverage brand. You may have tried, no matter where you are in the country, and I'd be willing to bet you've probably seen it. No matter who you are, you've probably seen this drink. It is taking over the US and soon to be the world. But it's called Super Coffee and it's blowing up. So I knew these guys back when they started. Jim mostly, I haven't really met the other two brothers or don't know them well. But these guys are originally from DC, or started the company in DC. So I got to know them then a few years ago when they were getting the ball rolling. And I interviewed Jim 2 years ago when this podcast was called Something Else. And I think now it's really fun to watch the progression, especially listening back to an interview from 2 years ago. That's what I posted this past Thursday. The reason that I posted that interview again, one, those interviews under the old name are no longer available, but I'm going to repost a couple that are in line with the current direction of Persuasion School. And that was one of them because they were rejected on Shark Tank in front of millions of people. And just last week, Forbes released this fantastic article, and now it's anywhere. If you Google Super Coffee, you're going to see all this recent press on how these three brothers under 30 just hit a $400 million valuation for their brand Super Coffee. Absolutely nuts. They've got investors like J-Lo and A-Rod and some other celebrities and pro athletes that I've never heard of. I should learn more about sports. But I know Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez, and you probably do too. So they're behind the brand, which is cool. But anyways, that was last Thursday's episode. And that guy has a lot of wisdom for somebody just in general, but also for somebody so young. And so he learning from him how him and his brothers overcame being rejected and feeling the sting, maybe a little bit humiliating even in front of millions of people, bouncing back and building something freaking incredible. So I would encourage you to go listen to that. All right, let's go ahead and jump into today's question. So I've received a series of questions from a dedicated listener, an awesome guy named Julian. And Julian sent over a handful of questions that he's been working through on his own as he continues his journey becoming a more effective communicator. He's in sales too, so some of them pertain to salesmanship, but I'm altering them slightly. Same intent, obviously, but altering them so that they fit the masses. So today's question is, how much of myself do I need to give up to be more persuasive? Followed up by, so two-part question, do I need to change who I am to win more deals or donations? So one more time, how much of myself do I need to give up to be more persuasive? And do I need to change who I am to achieve more wins, essentially? We can put anything in there. Do I need to change who I am to try to get a promotion? Do I need to change who I am to try to negotiate a raise? Do I need to change who I am to get somebody to go on a date with me? So how much of myself do I have to give up to be more persuasive? So I love this question because it's something that I have spent a lot of time playing around with. If you're listening, you might think, well, that should be obvious. You should be authentic and you should be genuine. Why would you give up, or why would you need to give up any of yourself in order to be more persuasive? I think that's what a lot of people would probably come to. But the reason I love this is because I get it. I have made mistakes here. So a lot of this podcast, I'm going to share great success stories, things that work based off of my decade and a half of experience and everything that I'm learning along the way as a student. But I'm also very willing and happy to share many of the mistakes I've made, which if you listen to the show, you will have heard plenty of those. But I have made the mistake of drifting away from my core character and trying to maybe take on the persona of somebody else at times in order to be more persuasive, sometimes intentionally, and I think sometimes unintentionally. Intentionally, just because for the times that I've been in sales and I've watched somebody else on my team who was better than I was, I tried to study what they were doing, and then at times I would emulate them. This is especially when I was younger and just starting out, because I hadn't quite learned yet how I could be my most authentic self and couple that with being my most persuasive self. So not knowing how to do that, I would emulate what other people were doing. And that meant sometimes maybe using, you know, idioms or sayings that they were using, things that I would never say. Just I saw them do it and it made the customer or the person laugh, and I thought maybe I'd give that a shot too. Or maybe, you know, unintentionally straying from myself. A good example would be times where I got a good read on my stakeholder, the person that I wanted to win over. And maybe I tried to be too much like them or someone I thought they would like in order to try to win them over. So yeah, I've made plenty of mistakes, but I've learned at least in the last 7+ years, how to be myself at my core and remain as persuasive as possible and be incredibly successful along the way. So that's what we're going to get into. But that's why I love it, is because most people, I think, at first glance would say, well, obviously you should be yourself. But it's not that easy, especially as you go down this path of just trying to be an effective communicator. You're going to try things that you hear from other people. And it's just important to maintain that sense of your own character and integrity along the way. So here are a couple things for us to dive into today on why you should not give up any of yourself on your journey to be more persuasive. And what was the second part of the question? Do I need to change who I am? So obviously, yeah, don't give up any of yourself and don't change who you are. So persuasion at its core is made up of 3 pillars. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me say this before. So this will be a refresher, or if this is your first episode, boom, here you go. Something brand new for you to learn. Persuasion at its core is made up of 3 pillars. Logos, pathos, and ethos. Greek words coming from Aristotle, who was, he's known as the father of rhetoric, so to speak, rhetoric being persuasive communication. Persuasive writing, most of us took maybe a rhetoric writing course in, or rhetoric was like a part of one of our writing courses in college or high school. So anyways, logos, pathos, and ethos. So logos is logic. You need that to persuade people. Pathos is emotion. You need more of that to persuade people. Plenty of episodes on that. And then lastly, ethos, which is the character or credibility of the speaker. All right, so logos, pathos, ethos, logic, emotion, and character or credibility of the speaker. So of those 3, you know, they're not created equal. If you were to guess which one holds the most weight, which would it be? Because one is proven to be to have a bigger impact than the other 2. So if you were to guess which one has the most impact, what would you guess? Hey guys, quick update for you that Alexa and I are super excited to share. We have recently teamed up with an awesome jewelry brand called Esperanza. And they're doing some amazing work to fight the good fight against sex trafficking down in South America.
Yes, I'm so excited about these guys. So 100% of Esperanza Art's proceeds give hope to women escaping sex trafficking or harmful situations. Their organic beads are made from local Ecuadorian seeds, including the acai berry and the tegua nut.
The what?
Tegua nut. I wasn't familiar either, but when it comes in the mail, you can see it. And yeah, it's really beautiful, the way that it's crafted, and they did a very good job. So by wearing Esperanza Art, you're choosing to take action against the sex trade and bring hope, healing, and opportunity to these young women that are making these statement pieces. Please do yourself a favor and buy them. It's amazing. I recently purchased the Playa necklace in turquoise.
And they look good.
Yeah, and I also got the Playa earrings in rose, and they're also beautiful. Some of their colors and just the way they're made are very beautiful. So do yourself a favor and go to their website and purchase them.
Yeah, it's high quality stuff. And if you do want to buy it, which I think you should, both of us think that you should, you can get it through their website. It's esperanzart.org. So that's E-S-P-E-R-A-N-Z-Art, esperanzart.org. And of course, we've got you a discount code. Use the code persuasion for 10% off. Persuasion spelled like persuasion on the cover art of this podcast. Again, for 10% off, that's esperanzart.org. We'll put the link in the show notes too, so you don't even have to remember. I don't know why I spelled it out for you. You can just click the link in the show notes and go straight there. And if you want to follow their journey on Instagram, you can also look up Esperanzart, or you can look up the parent organization, End Slavery Ecuador. So it's just at End Slavery Ecuador if you want to learn more about the work that they're doing. So go check it out and buy some jewelry.
Support Esperanzart.
Yep. If you said pathos, you're wrong. ethos is the correct answer. So the most important pillar when it comes to being persuasive is the character or credibility of the speaker. Right. And a lot of us can sort of guess that. I mean, you know, the first thought that comes to mind for me would be like a personal fitness trainer. You know, you're not going to want to be trained by somebody who is pretty clearly out of shape, because whatever words or things that they tell you might not have a whole lot of gravity. Now, they could actually be telling you exactly what you need to do based off of facts and their knowledge on how you can get in more shape, but you're not necessarily going to buy into them as much if they don't seem to have the credibility to support what they're saying, right? So character and credibility are some of the most important aspects of persuading others. And actually, I hadn't written this down, but this just came to me. There is a great story about Gandhi, how this mother, I'll need to look this up and confirm, but this mother had a child who was just eating tons of candy, and she wanted to get her kid to stop eating candy. And this kid looked up to Gandhi, and she could not get this kid for the life of her to stop or even slow down his candy consumption. So she takes the kid to Gandhi, and she says, "Gandhi, will you tell my kid to stop eating candy?" And Gandhi says, "Bring the boy back in 3 days and ask me again." So the woman thinks that's strange. She takes her kid home, waits 3 days, and she comes back to Gandhi. And she says, "All right, Gandhi, it's been 3 days. Now will you tell my kid to stop eating candy?" And he says, "All right, kid," essentially, "stop eating candy." And she said, that's all you said? Like, why couldn't you have just said that 3 days ago?" And Gandhi said, "3 days ago, I was eating candy myself. So I needed to stop for a few days before I told this kid to stop eating candy." I will try to confirm that story. And if I'm wrong, I'll put it in the show notes. But it's something that's always stuck with me when it comes to character and credibility. So why am I talking about this? Because if the most important or impactful element of influencing somebody else to take action is character or credibility, then straying from yourself or giving up part of yourself in order to be more persuasive is self-defeating in itself. I guess that's the definition of self-defeating, right? So you're doing more harm than good when trying to take on maybe the persona of somebody else or give up a portion of yourself. You could not be the greatest communicator, not know how to properly tie in logic and emotion, and the right mix of the two, depending on the topic. You could not have those skills and still be able to achieve some wins by being somebody of character and by speaking on a topic from a position of credibility. So again, you're going to do more harm than good by straying from your authentic self. So that's kind of the first thing here. And another thing to consider is our communication breakdown. When we are inferring, or our brains are trying to decipher what's being communicated to us from other people, there is a sort of rule of thumb. Now, these numbers are not absolute. They're not exact. That would be almost impossible, I would assume. But it has been discovered by, or I guess made popular, by the professor emeritus of psychology from UCLA, a guy named Albert Mehrabian. And so Albert Mehrabian spent a ton of time conducting research on how we decipher language and communication from others. And what was found is that 55% of communication is actually body language. So over half, just body language. Then 38% of communication, tone of voice. Then only 7% are the actual words spoken. 55% of our communication is body language. 38% is tone of voice. And 7% is the actual words spoken. So why am I bringing this up? If you have an inconsistency between what you believe and what you are trying to communicate to others, that inconsistency will find a way to the surface through your body language, through your tone of voice, or through the words that you're saying. Now, the words that you're saying, whether you're lying, or you know you're trying to take on this persona of another person, you're deviating from your core and your authentic self, maybe somebody can, they won't detect it in your words, you know, but they will be able to detect it likely from the tone of voice and the body language. Now, some people will, Right. And a lot of us have this belief that our we'll have this gut feeling if somebody is lying to us, or our brains, whether consciously or subconsciously, are able to detect if there's an inconsistency. This actually is not necessarily true. Now, sometimes we will have a feeling if somebody is lying, and it can be pretty clear depending on how the body language is taking shape or the tone of voice, right? If there's an inconsistency and somebody else is picking up on it, they might think to themselves, I can't really trust this person. I can't put my finger on it, but something about this isn't right. And then ultimately, you won't win them over. But I do want to actually avoid that, because there has been more recent research that proves we're not as great as we think on detecting whether or not somebody else is lying or telling the truth. We're actually pretty terrible at it. And if you want to learn more about that, I would highly suggest reading the book Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell. There's tons of research in there, very recent research using big data, things we never had before, to prove that we're kind of bad at detecting whether or not somebody else is lying or telling the truth. So then if that's the case, why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up because if you want to sell something, an idea or secure buy-in or whatever it is, you have to believe in it yourself. You have to be sold on it yourself. A lot of us have probably heard that, right? If you want to sell something, you got to be sold on it yourself. You're sold on it yourself. But so why I'm bringing up the communication piece is not so much that somebody else may detect an inconsistency, but you will. You're at your core, you're the one that knows if you're deviating from yourself. Maybe someone that you're meeting for the first time won't be able to tell if they've never met you. They don't have a baseline to go off of, but you do. And you will know that you're straying from your core character or who you are. And that will come out as an inconsistency and ultimately will make you less persuasive, because your body language or your tonality will not match up with the words that you're saying. There will be something there, and that will make you less effective of a communicator because it won't be in line. So, food for thought. Again, you know, the most important aspect of persuasion, your character. Don't deviate from it. Even if you feel like you're not a great salesperson, or if you're somebody who hasn't really gotten much of what you want because you don't feel like you're good at influencing the behaviors of other people or moving them to take action, don't give up. Those are skills that you can improve on. It's just a muscle, right? You're going to build the muscle over time. That's the point of this podcast. But even if you suck at all those things, you will still get by being a person of character and integrity. It may take you more. You know, you're going to have to cast that fishing rod a few more times than somebody else before you catch a fish, but whatever, you will make it happen. So there you go, Julian. Hopefully that was helpful. And anybody else that has wondered if they should, you know, if they need to give up part of themselves to be more persuasive, or you're single and you want to ask someone on a date and you just can't get anyone to say yes, but you've got that friend who has no problem locking in dates, so you want to try what they're doing, but it doesn't quite work for you and you're not sure why. Hopefully this helped to clear some things up. Guys, if you have a question that you want answered on the show, go ahead and send it over. First and foremost, you can go to persuasionschoolpodcast.com and you can drop me a line there. You can also catch me on Instagram. I'm pretty active on there. You can DM me. I will see it and I'll try to get to it on the show. Then last three quick things, ultra quick here. For one, we've got a survey live on our website. I know a lot of people don't like taking surveys, but here's why we have the survey. We just want to better know you, get to know the audience so we can continue improving the show. In the very beginning, I said, welcome to your favorite show. I really do want this to be your favorite podcast. So if we can learn more about you, what you like, and what you would like to improve on the show, we can try to make it happen. Also, somebody brought up a great question, or idea, I should say, to me recently, that they would like to know what questions are on the survey before they take it. And I have no problem sharing the questions with you all. They're very basic. They're just a handful of them. It really does take 60 seconds. But the information we're just trying to gather is pretty simple. It's, are you a regular listener? What's your gender? If you feel comfortable sharing, how old are you? What industry or line of work are you in? How did you find us? Which podcast style do you like the most, being just the regular Thursday episodes, interviews, Whiskey Wednesday, or Monday Q&A? How often do you listen? If we were to have, and some of them we do have ads, for example, but what number of ads do you feel is fair or appropriate for a podcast episode? Simply because we don't want to exceed that, obviously, right? We want to keep this a great, wholesome show that you enjoy listening to. But ads do help keep the gears turning, of course, in terms of supporting this, because it is a lot of work. But anyways, what number of ads do you feel is fair or appropriate? And then how much of each episode do you typically consume, and what's one thing we can be doing better? That's it. So one more time, it's, are you a regular listener? What's your gender? How old are you? What line of work are you in? How'd you find us? Which type of podcast do you like the most? How often do you listen? What number of ads do you feel is appropriate? How much of each episode do you normally consume? And what's one thing we could be doing better? Boom. I think that's 10 questions. So pretty cut and dry, pretty simple. And you answering them helps us out a ton. All right. Second thing is ratings and reviews. Podcast hosts are always griping about this too. It can be a little annoying, and I wouldn't expect you to go write a review for every single podcast that you listen to. There are a lot out there, but here's why it makes a difference for us. We're in the business of helping other people get what they want with the show. That's the point of it here. And when you write a review, even like a one-line review or even a two-word, it's great. if you think it's great, obviously be authentic, be your true self. But those ratings help the algorithms put Persuasion School in front of more people. So if you're somebody who got value from the show, you can help other people get value from the show by writing a review. That's going to help more people see it so they can get the same good things that you're getting. So that's why we ask for that. And then lastly, my wife, Alexa, and I are passionate about fighting the good fight against the fastest growing criminal industry in the world, and second largest criminal industry in the world, human trafficking. There are a lot of causes out there, good causes people support, but the thought of human beings not having the ability to choose how they want their life to go, or choose how they spend their days, and not having the freedom that we get to experience, and being forced to do things that nobody should have to do. I don't know. There's something about that that doesn't sit right with us. And obviously, you know, I'm sure it doesn't sit right with you either. But we're dedicated to trying to stop it, basically. So there are a handful of partners that we work with here in the U.S. to do that. And if you're somebody that wants to get involved, maybe you've been thinking about it, but you didn't know how, because there are like a million organizations and you didn't know where to give your money or your time to, or how to volunteer. Well, for one, you can go to persuasionschoolpodcast.com and you'll see a section just on the homepage there called Jake's Fight, and you can donate. So it's not going to us. It's just a pass through, but it just simplifies the process for you. You don't have to do research on organizations. We take that money and we spread it across organizations here in the U.S. fighting the good fight against sex trafficking and labor trafficking, and also abroad, because this is all over the place. Or you can buy a shirt. Persuasion School t-shirt, 100% of the profits also go towards the same mission. Guys, that is it. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Oh, last thing. I have had people that listen to the show that may manage a team. Maybe it's a sales team. Maybe it's a fundraising team. They've reached out asking if I'll help lead a workshop for them. And I do. That's actually something that's been on my consulting website for a while now, but it's now on the Persuasion School website. So if you manage or oversee a team, I do lead workshops for groups, and I've got the different workshops on the website along with the cost, all the details. You can check it out there. We can have some fun together helping your team to sharpen those skills. All right. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Monday and Tuesday. Catch you on Wednesday. Adios.